You might open with me then to Proverbs chapter 27 particularly. Although I'll be making reference to a number of other parts in the book as well. But it is the section that we read has quite a gathering of references to friends, and that's the theme that I would focus on this morning. But to remind you that Proverbs is a collection of the reflections of a wise teacher, although there are a number of possible additional authors of small sections, but all coming at it from the same perspective. A wise teacher who has pondered life at large. And I stress that because we don't come at these things, the statements that are made, the counsel that's given, we don't come at it from, you might say, a small village viewpoint, someone who only knows their own little context. We don't come at it from an undergraduate's viewpoint, a young person who thinks they know everything. But as they get older, they realize there's an awful lot still to learn. We don't come at it from an actor's viewpoint. How many of them are the people who are passing down the wisdom of today's age? We're not coming at it from a politician's viewpoint to get what he wants to achieve. And we're certainly not coming at it from an atheist's viewpoint who doesn't have room for God in the wisdom of the world and life. This is a man of great influence, Solomon, by and large, in this book, who devoted himself to wisdom. That was his great object in life. How many can say that that is what they have been seeking? And yet will make a statement, make a judgment on something. But the judgments and the statements that we have, the counsel we have, come from a man who was exceptionally gifted in wisdom by God and who set himself to study that wisdom. A man who, and we also read, I believe, in Ecclesiastes, how he devoted himself to consider those big matters of life. And so, as you probably know, and as you would be reminded in those few verses that we read, he touches on quite a number of different points and experiences of life, aspects that we often face. But there are a number of things through the book that he keeps coming back to. And doing so ought to suggest, that these are the more significant things to give attention to for our lives, whatever age we might be, whatever might be the overall shape that we fit ourselves into in life. And today's subject, one that he does keep referring to frequently, is friends. One that we therefore need to take very seriously and learn from him. And I would just make three very simple points out of what we find in Proverbs. First of all, it is good to have friends. But also it's good to be a friend, and yet it is hard to be a friend. Just those simple things which are indicated by what is taught us in Proverbs about friends. And so first of all, it's good to have friends. There are not many people who would disagree with that. There are some perhaps who would prefer to isolate themselves, but even then perhaps they might come to points in life where they would say, I need a friend. However, what do we mean? What do you mean by, yes, it's good to have friends? What do you mean by a friend? Well, Proverbs is very realistic. What do you mean by a friend? That depends, Proverbs seems to be saying. It depends. Someone might call themselves a friend. You may call them a friend. You may call yourself a friend of another. But it depends. It depends on how that person treats you or how you treat them. It's the same as most things. You can have the name, but do you have the truth behind that name. Let me just talk about the words that are used in Proverbs that we have translated as friend or, in some cases, as neighbour. And the most common of the words that is used does have that, we might think of it as a range. A neighbour, we think of it as somebody over the garden hedge or the garden wall. Neighbour, think of it rather in the light of Jesus when he said the second great commandment is love your neighbour as yourself. Your neighbour is your fellow man. So it covers a range from just in those general terms, all people, all other people. But it can come all the way down to somebody who is indeed a very close friend, the one that you share very personal moments with. Love, even. So this the main word that is used in Proverbs has that range of meaning. And it depends then on the context, it depends on what's being said about this person. In chapter 27 and verse 6, we read of the faithful wounds of a friend and the kisses of an enemy. Are deceitful. Now we say, well, that's about friends, it's about enemies. But hang on a minute. It's talking about the kiss of an enemy. A kiss is something that is given by somebody who, ostensibly at least, apparently, is close. And take you back to the Garden of Gethsemane, where Judas said to those that he was leading, I will kiss him. And he was allowed to kiss him because he was one of the intimate 12. He was one of those intimate fellowship. For many a year, he was a friend. That's portrayed by the kiss. But the reality is, he's an enemy. So bear in mind that there can be pretenders. Proverbs is very, very much aware of that. Proverbs, this wise man, he has his standards that he portrays. But he's not naive. He knows the reality of life amongst men. But then what does it say about whether it be the neighbour or the friend? Talk about it in the sense of a neighbour, first of all. And I won't give you all the references because we'd be dancing around right throughout Proverbs. But now and again, there'll be some that I might highlight. But the neighbour is somebody who is peaceful. Think of it as the neighbour across the garden fence. You don't want somebody who's going to be forever pestering you about just how whose responsibility that hedge is to be cut and so on. You need someone who is peaceful, who cultivates peace in relationship. Somebody who is kind. Here, let me perhaps direct you just a couple of chapters back. Do have a look. And chapter 24. And verses 17 and 19. Now remember, neighbour can refer to your fellow man. Any person, any other person. And so that's where a neighbour is the enemy in this case. In verse 17, do not rejoice when your enemy falls. Do not let your heart be glad when he stumbles. And in verse 19, do not fret because of evildoers, nor be envious of the wicked. So that's saying, don't do this. This is not the right approach. Don't be gloating when he falls. That might be the natural inclination. Stop. Don't do that. But then Proverbs takes us further on. The next chapter, 25, and verses 21 and 22, takes us further still. It's first of all, we're told, don't do that. But then in chapter 25, verse 21, says, if your enemy is hungry, give him bread to eat. Take a further step. Be kind. If he is thirsty, give him water to drink. There is a very challenging result of this, for so you will heap coals of fire on his head, and the Lord will reward you. There's different ways of understanding the first line there. But basically saying, don't just stop being nasty. Don't just stop rejoicing over your enemy's struggles, but make a friend of him. Be kind to him. The Samaritan and the Jew were enemies, but the Samaritan showed mercy to the Jew who had been beaten up. He was the neighbor. And a neighbor will be generous. And perhaps that we made reference to in chapter 24 also points to something that's said more clearly a few chapters back. Let me just read it to you. In chapter 11 and verse 12, he who is devoid of wisdom despises his neighbor, but a man of understanding holds his peace. There are times when there are problems between people, but a neighbor, a man of understanding, will be quiet. Silence at times is better than criticizing, whether it be just the other person in general or somebody who is very close to you. Generosity, a generous spirit, as it bears out in that way as well. And a neighbor will be helpful, especially to those who we might otherwise see as failures. That's not the way of the world. Survival of the fittest is the great thing, isn't it? Except in some cultures that are still not as advanced as ours. And those cultures, they do care for the person who's struggling. How often we live in a world of contempt instead of being helpful. Having said all that, helpfulness, kindness, generosity, the good neighbor, the wise neighbor, sometimes also finds the wisdom to keep away. The man of understanding keeps quiet, keeps silence. Keep away. Don't commit yourself. Jesus, we learn in John chapter 2, he didn't commit himself to men because he knew what was in the heart of man. And there has to be that wisdom about it as well, to make very careful choices. There are passages that relate to that as well. I need to move on and speak about what we talk about as a friend, more particularly. The individual, the one that is perhaps known better by name. And first, the first point to make about the friend is that he should be constant, should be faithful, not one who comes and goes. And Proverbs makes a contrast with that. I was reading a commentary that was on this that was published in 1964, and he described these as fair weather friends. You might know the expression. So that when it's sunny, let's all get on with sun on our faces, but when it gets difficult, they run away. Perhaps a bit more like in 2013, Facebook friends that you can unfriend at the push of a button. But faithful. Proverbs makes the point that we need to be faithful, that we need to have faithful friends. And perhaps one of the better known verses is chapter 18. You might like to look at this one. And verse 24. Chapter 18 of verse 24. A man who has friends must himself be friendly. But there is a friend who sticks closer than a brother. That's faithfulness. There can be various reasons why family members can't be as close, whether in relationship or in practical terms. We read in chapter 27 that it's better to have a neighbor nearby than a brother far away. I'm very much aware of that. I leave my father in Australia, and I spoke to him a few years ago, and I said, "What happens if something happens?" And he said, "Well, there are a lot of friends around. You have to take my place for the time being. Better a brother, a neighbor nearby than a brother far away. But there is a friend that sticks closer than a brother." And that's an accolade. That's to a brother. Brothers should be close. Brothers and sisters, obviously, should be close. But there can be a friend that's even closer, one that is utterly dependable. In chapter 17, it speaks of one who loves at all times, a friend loves at all times, but along with a brother born for adversity. So this is a great quality of a friend. Now some of you might wonder, am I going to say anything about the Lord Jesus? Yes, let's say it here. I want to come to apply it in that way a little later on as well. But surely here is a friend, the friend, who sticks closer than a brother for anyone. I remember speaking to some children at an assembly once and talking to them about his word, I am with you always. I'm trying to get it across, and I had a small poster with the word always covering it as best I could. And I said, it's not like that. That's where I might say I'm here for you all the time. But with him, it covers the breadth of this wall and beyond. Truly, always. There's no way to break it down. Without exception, he sticks closer than a brother, even the finest of friends. He's exemplary. But it's not just faithfulness from him to me, it's faithfulness from you to him as well. And that's about being a friend, but let's just deal with that here. Faithfulness in chapter 27, verse 10, do not forsake your own friend or your father's friend. Family, friends. It's very easy to go on to the new person, the new thing. But your family, your friends, they've been with you. They've been with you. Young people sometimes don't realize just how much other people have put into your lives through your family. But they do. Don't forsake them for the sake of new company. Be that friend. A friend is also true. Ready to speak truth in love, as the New Testament puts it. But that has been very abused, obviously, in many, many a case. Truth, but with a right spirit. And we have it here in verse 6, faithful are the wounds of a friend. It can hurt. If you want thanks for it, chapter 28 touches on that, verse 23. If you are going to try and give counsel and rebuke, if it's necessary, to a friend, he who rebukes a man will find more favor afterward. It won't come straight away. That's a reality of life. But that's not what you're there for. Flattery will get you there. But as we read in Pilgrim's Progress, so the flatterer spreads a net for your feet. And you're caught and trapped. A true friend will give advice or counsel. We have that again in chapter 27, verse 9. It uses the image of ointment and perfume delight the heart. Well, the sweetness of a man's friend does so by hearty counsel, advice. Now that's a touchy one, because we can all be very good at trying to give advice, not so good at being willing to receive it. But a true friend, by hearty counsel, will cheer and encourage. It talks about that friendship, the sweetness of a man's friend, the encouragement that is given. It talks about, in verse 17 as well, about iron sharpening iron. A man sharpens the countenance of his friend. It's about the cut and thrust, as it were, of dispute over something, but you know you're with a friend, and it sharpens, it braces you. A true friend is going to be faithful, going to be true, going to be able to and willing to give advice. But that's advice. It's not telling. It's advising. giving a nudge, giving a direction, giving an idea, helping along the way. It's also about tact, to remember you're looking to another to be a friend, you want them to be a friend to you. It's about him, it's about not about me. I'm to be a friend. It's about the other person. It is to respect them. Respect feelings, yes. Respect their circumstances. How often do you truly know the full circumstances and the condition of life, the things that somebody is dealing with when you bring a word to them? You might think, well, I'm encouraged to give rebuke that they've gone the wrong way. Are you doing it with tact, with respect? And there are a number of remarkable verses that we do have, some in that chapter. Let me just take you back a little way further back in chapter 25, verse 17. Here we have the word neighbor rather than friend, but chapter 25, verse 17, seldom set foot in your neighbor's house, lest he become weary of you and hate you. It's not to completely discourage visiting one another, but don't outstay the welcome or impose yourself. In the same chapter we read, and did you notice it? Didn't it catch you? In verse 14, the wonderful way he has of putting it, he who blesses his friend with a loud voice rising early in the morning, I'm coming out to bless you. It will be counted a curse to him. Go away. I don't like you. That's what it means. All your enthusiasm and your brightness, you're a morning person. They're not. You want to be a friend, say, what a wonderful day it is, and get a smile on their face. It's going to take a while to get there. That's what Proverbs is saying. Realities of life. Take account of them. Jesus taught, and it is from Proverbs and elsewhere, weep with those who weep. Rejoice with those who rejoice. Find the right person at the right time. Back in chapter 25, again, there's a place, again, images. The first part of verse 20, chapter 25, verse 20. It's like one who takes away a garment in cold weather. Would you do that? And like vinegar on soda, this translation, it's an explosive combination. What is it? It's one who sings songs to a heavy heart. Do you know the condition of the heart of your friend? Your heart is heavy. Do you want someone to be singing bright and cheery songs? Weep with those who weep. Be understanding. That's the wisdom of this man. To read the signs. And then, friends, and we live in a day where I think this is perhaps particularly appropriate in chapter 26, verses 18 and 19. You have first in verse 18, a madman who throws firebrands, arrows, and death. Do you want somebody like that raging around in this place, in your home, as a so-called friend? Is that good? Well, he says, just like that is the man who deceives his neighbor and says, I was only joking. Today we live in a world where if you can't take a joke, so-called, you're the bad guy. But how many are judging the joke that they're trying to tell? How many are bursting out with something and say, it's all right, I'm only joking. I think that's okay. Proverbs says, be careful. That's not great. There's a wrong spirit underneath that. That's where this is coming from. So these are some of the things that Proverbs tells us about being a friend. It's good to be a friend, a true friend. Not one who falls down in some of those things, but is careful to be faithful, to be true, not two-faced, to be true, to give, ready to give advice and to be tactful about all of this relationship. And so those things, let me just apply it most particularly to ourselves, and I guess I've made a few references along the way like that, but it's good to be a friend. We would like to have those who are friends in this way. But Proverbs tells it in just such a way to say, well, that's about you showing to them as well. Just for example, in that in the chapter that we read in verse 10, do not forsake your own friend or your father's friend. very directly to you and to me about how we are going to deal with this. So ask yourself, will you be peaceable? Paul says in Romans 12, as much as lies upon you, as much as it depends on you, be at peace with all men. Will you be peaceable? Will you be kind, acting in mercy? Will you be considerate? Will you think yourself into their shoes before you burst out with whatever you feel is heavy upon your mind? Will you be helpful? Some you might say, well, do they deserve it? It's not the question. Will you be a helpful neighbor? Does mean that you'll always be watchful. Jesus also taught us, don't put your pearls before swine. Don't commit something that's valuable to people who will not respond from it, but many will respond. Be steady, be true, be faithful, those things that we've talked about. In all things, be gracious, ready to give advice, ready to withhold advice, depending on the situation. By tact, consideration. All of those things are reflected in Proverbs. And that's for you and for me, as to how we befriend those around us. If friendship in its best forms is a blessing to you, and it is to be a blessing to you, it's for you to bless others in its best form as well. Is that obvious? Well, you tell me. Do we live in a day when that's the way to live? Within certain small circles, so far, perhaps. The Proverbs is talking about our neighbor, all our fellow men. Will you be friendly? People might say, well, you can't really do that anymore. And that's one of the sad things of the world that we live in. There are difficulties associated with being a friend. But they don't alter the need to offer ourselves as friends. But it is hard to be a friend. There are difficulties. And I don't think our age is exceptional in that. It's always been so. It's hard to be a friend. And Proverbs touches on this too. And there is a further word that is used in Proverbs for a friend. It's what is the old word, a bosom friend, the one who is truly, truly close. You remember, and we read about the Last Supper, and there was the man, the disciple, who was never named, but the one that Jesus loved. A very, very close relationship. And he leant on Jesus. Sort of a literal portrayal of a bosom friend, one who is so close. But that word in Proverbs, the most powerful of these words, is mostly used in the sense of, in the context of betrayal. It raises the sharpness of the experience. Betrayal or separation, estrangement. I thought he was my friend. How painful it is. Psalm 41, fulfilled in the New Testament, in Jesus above all. Proverbs raises a particular concern over in regard to this, and the reason behind it. Let's just mention a couple of places quickly. In chapter 16, verse 28, talks about a perverse man who sows strife, and a whisperer separates the best of friends. Can you get the picture? Somebody who spreads rumors, whispers that penetrate and raise a doubt, a concern in the mind of one friend, and it begins to separate. There are slanderers, somebody who, every man has a fault, and there might be somebody who spots one and says, now I can separate. There's a jealousy that we read of as well. Now I can separate these friends. I can't get in there, so don't let them have it either. How often that's happened in so many experiences, so many friendships. It's unhealthy to cocoon our friendships. You can't shut other people out. It's one of a dangerous way to go. We live in a wide world, and that means that with these threats around us, if friendship is so good, if it's so valuable, we must guard it. Like this man, we must be wise. Face the realities, realize the threats that are around us, as he does. And in friendship, don't be a dreamer, but work at it. Register what Proverbs is teaching us about those practicalities. Don't outstay your welcome, and so on. But if you are prepared to put in the effort that this calls us to, give as much attention to friendship as we need to. And those qualities are those things that don't come easily, to work them out, to live them out. But if you put so much into it, and that friendship is damaged, you will be hurt. It is a hard thing. You give to a friendship as a friendship needs. You're giving of yourself. You're putting yourself at the disposal of others. That's to put yourself in the way of so much that could be damaging, so much that could hurt. But yet, friendship is a good thing. It's to be encouraged. It's valuable for us. There might be times when your friend needs help from you and you need help from somebody else. It's hard to be a friend in that way as well. And that raises the question of resources. That these things are beyond us in our natural way of things, at least with any reliability. There is grace abroad in the world, and many people are fine people, very friendly people, kind, and so on. But with reliability, we need resources. Proverbs, when it looks at the world in which we live, it doesn't just look at the way that we do live towards one another. It looks at it through another lens, through a glass from another world almost, from standards of another world. It's highlighting a different spirit. We've read there of enemies, we've read there of those who will try and divide a friendship and so on. That's all around us. And Proverbs is saying, be wary of that. That's not the way you want it to be. That's not the way for you to behave. Because it knows there is a better way. Because Proverbs knows and sets out the way that is good. And it's for that we go back to those early chapters of Proverbs that we have previously looked at, that we resort to wisdom. Wisdom that is offered freely. Come and find wisdom. And James says it's found from God, God given. God gives it freely with great abundance. And it is truly only with spiritual resources that all of those fine characteristics can be fulfilled. And so it then, I think, takes us to look at our example, our great example. I mentioned him a little while ago. One who does not forsake his friends. One who is closer than any brother. He is, Luke tells us, called the friend of sinners. Even his enemies call him that. The friend of sinners. He called his disciples. They were still very shaky in their discipleship. But he says, I call you my friends. How do we know this friendship of our Lord Jesus Christ, who is at times regarded to be this very wisdom that is our fountain in the book of Proverbs? We know his friendship by his giving of himself. He laid down his life for his friends. He devoted himself to be their friend, to show all of these finest characteristics. Perhaps a worthwhile study might be the tact of our Lord Jesus, as well as his forthrightness, but his tact, his grace towards those who were struggling all around him. But above all, it comes down to the place where he gave himself. And he nurtured those friendships, he nurtures the friendships of his people, his disciples, throughout all the ages. He brings us to him because he is our friend, so that we can then be friends towards others, as he said, which epitomizes friendship, the love towards your neighbor. Love one another as I have loved you. How has he loved you? That's the love he calls you to love towards one another, towards our fellow man. And yes, there is a friend that sticks closer than a brother, but he becomes our brother. The family of God, the children of God, should become the closest of all relationships. And God willing, we'll be able to look at family as one of the great themes of Proverbs next time. But so far, and we would seek God to bless his word and uphold us together. Let us pray together.